Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. And Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. And then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke those words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. 7 times in John's Gospel, Jesus defines himself through the statement, I am. And so last week we gave some thought to John 6, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life, in response to a crowd looking for food. And today I want to try and focus your attention on John 8 and verse 12, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But I guess so often I have a Jesus I define. I have a tendency to celebrate aspects of Jesus' character that resonate with me, that sit well with me in particular circumstance, that suit me depending on the frame of mind I'm in. And neglect some of who he says he is himself, because it doesn't so well suit me in those moments, or it doesn't resonate brilliant with me at that time, or sometimes I'm just not sure I really get what he's saying. And I want to acknowledge this morning, I don't get to decide who Jesus is today. I don't get to decide who he is. It's not up for me to determine who my Jesus is. He's revealed himself to be somebody. He's made some statements about himself. He's told me who he is. It's not up for me to say, well, I want this Jesus, but not that Jesus. And increasingly, in a world that allows me to dictate everything, I want to come in pursuit of him for who he is. Not just who I'd like him to be. Let me try and explain what I mean. When I'm angry and upset about something, really suits me that Jesus went into the temple courts with whips and turned over tables. Right? It's really convenient for me in those moments that that's what he did, because I'm angry and upset. And I mean, I've never used a whip in my life, but there's some times where it feels like a good place to start. But see, when I've got it wrong and somebody else is angry with me, all I want to talk about is gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And what ends up happening is that depending on how I feel on a particular day and my personal inclinations, I actually worship a God I create. That actually I form Jesus into my image. That actually he becomes what I want him to be based on my scenario, rather than who he's shown himself to be through his word. Does that make sense? So in John chapter 6 and verse 35, he says, I'm the bread of life. Chapter 8 and verse 12, he says he's the light of the world. Chapter 10 and verse 7, he says he is the door. Chapter 10, verses 11, he says he's the good shepherd. Chapter 11, verse 25, he is the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14 and verse 6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And chapter 15 and verse 1, he's the true vine. And if I'm serious about knowing him, I can't ignore what he says about himself. I can't choose to be dismissive of aspects of his character that don't suit me. So he says, John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. Interesting. It's only in verse 12 that light is mentioned in John chapter 8. Jesus makes a pronouncement about himself. And yet what happens is the Pharisees want to discuss the credibility of the statement. Who's corroborating what you said, Jesus? Who's backing this up? There's a suggestion that what the Pharisees are actually doing is taking Jesus' word from John 5 and verse 31 and now trying to use them to mock him. John 5 and verse 31, he says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you might be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Jesus stands then in John 8 and says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And they say, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony isn't valid. And Jesus seems to make the same point he's made in John chapter 5. His Father's his witness. You want to know who verifies my claim? It's the God you apparently worship. And I think upon the fact that men who devoted themselves to studying the Bible recognized some of them, at least, Jesus spoke differently. But he wasn't the Messiah they were looking for. So he makes a statement that I am the light of the world. And rather than exploring what he means by the statement or inquiring as to what he's trying to say or engage the conversation with him at all, what they want to do is dismiss what he said. Because he's not what they were looking for. And I guess I wonder if some of us fall into that trap at times, where because I've allowed me to define who he is, I'm dismissive of some stuff because it's not what I was looking for. But Jesus comes and he says, I am the light of the world. And throughout Scripture, God is revealed as light. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Daniel 2 and verse 20. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. Ezekiel 1, verse 27. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Psalm 27, verse 1, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Micah 7 and verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Psalm 44 and verse 3. You made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring their victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Again and again, that's not an exhaustive list. God is revealed in Scripture as light. And what's promised in the Messianic promises is light. So Malachi 4 and verse 2 says, you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, S-U-N. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Isaiah 9 verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah 60 and verse 19 says, the sun will be no more, will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. So when Jesus gets up and says, I'm the light of the world, he declares himself as God. He declares himself as the Messiah. He is the light. John 1, verse 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And you don't have to work too hard at the metaphor of light and darkness. To have some understanding of the difference. I was talking to Jane's parents when they were over about something we'd watched. And my description of it was, it's quite dark. I didn't have to say anything more. They knew exactly what I meant. And it's easy for us to recognize darkness at times. It's easier for us to recognize the world's a dark place at times. But he came to rescue me out of darkness. John 12 and verse 46. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. God who said, let light shine in darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 13. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I have been translated from one kingdom to another, brought out of darkness into glorious light. I have been brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So, here's really what I want to get to. Following Christ means we don't walk in darkness. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. One John 1 and verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. I guess one of the the challenge is for me about a savior I define is that at times I make space for darkness in my life. Because he's gracious and compassionate. Because his grace never comes to an end. I allow myself to walk in darkness and convince myself it's okay because of who he is. I'm going to tell you, you can't pursue Christ and walk in darkness. You can't follow him faithfully and walk in darkness. And what's clear from 1 John 1 is there is a distinction between sin and choosing to walk in darkness. If you say you haven't sinned, you make him out to be a liar. So there is space for you to mess up. There's space for you to get it wrong. There's space for you to not nail it. But I can't follow him and walk in darkness. Because in that I lie and do not live out the truth. And I guess the truth is about what I do with my sin when it happens. John 3 and verse 19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Here's my tendency in sin. Hide. I think I got it from someone in a garden somewhere. But what I want to do is make sure you never know about it. What I want to do is cover it up. I'd really like just to ignore its existence altogether. I'd like for it never to be known. If you always think I'm perfect, that'll suit me just fine. Thanks, Brian. If you always think I'm perfect, that would do just brilliantly for me. But I'm meant to live in light. I'm meant to live with a consciousness. He's seen it all. I've done it in his sight. And the truth is, his opinion's more important than yours. So what I'm doing with my sin matters when it happens. I want to come to him and say, God, I got that wrong. I'm not trying to hide myself from him. And actually, that's a game I think most of us play a good bit. You all look lovely this morning. What I'm confident about is the journey to get here might not have been so lovely as you all look for some of you. That the week doesn't necessarily look as pretty as the Sunday. That what went on this week, you're not going to necessarily share with the room. But I don't want to cover it up and hide it either. And I don't want to make space for darkness in my life. Because it suits me. Luke 12 and verse 12 says there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you've whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. That's Jesus' words to his disciples. And I find it easy at times to explain patterns of behavior, habits I have that I know are sinful, with things like, well, I'm only human and everybody does it. And it's just this one thing, really. But I know he'll forgive me. I'm not here to tell you this morning he won't forgive you. But it will affect how you follow him. And it will affect your relationship with each other. One John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another. I think something that arguably most people get frustrated at times in church is perhaps the lack of real relationship. I can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with you, apparently. I have to walk in light to have fellowship with you. So, I need to shut up because time's gone. Let me quickly get through this. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, "Once you were once darkness, but now you're in the light. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of life consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Philippians 2 and verse 14, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without a fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." He's the light of the world. He is the hope for the world. But whoever follows him doesn't walk in darkness. And the truth is that if we're honest, sometimes we allow darkness to creep in. They don't coexist. Light and darkness don't dwell together. They don't live alongside each other happily. And what he's entrusted to me is that I'm the light of the world. People are meant to see my life, the stuff that I do, and give thanks to God for it. Let me just say this. Too often, people professing his name but walking in darkness. And what actually happens is people go, "If that's it, if that's it, and they're meant to be, I don't want to have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. I want to expose them. I want to expose them in me." A lot of people get excited about exposing them in everybody else. I want to deal with me. I want the fruitless deeds of darkness that are in me to come out so that people see my good deeds and give thanks to God for them. So that I shine like stars in a crooked and warped generation. And there's no doubt for us this morning, stuff out there's not great. Warped and crooked seems like a good definition for the society we live in. I want to shine like a star in the sky at that. But that's about how I walk and the choices I make in that. Anyway, let me shut up. Should we stand together and worship?